Dr. McMahon is on the line from the Allen County Department of Health. How are you, Dr. McMahon?
I'm fine. How are you guys doing?
Good.
As I wanted to ask you, as of today, based on everything that you've told us that needed to be done to combat this virus, what letter grade would you give the citizens of Fort Wayne on how we're following the Hunker Down Hoosiers order?
A minus.
Oh.
Wow. That's awesome.
There's always the couple of people that bring it down, but
well, an A minus is an A. It's still good. I'm just saying I haven't, when I see 100% of people wearing masks, but the other day I saw somebody on the golf course wearing cloth facial coverings, the mask, and I thought, you know what? That's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good. So I'd say A minus. Room to improve, but overall doing well.
Now, large-scale testing is going on, and it looks like the article that I read, they had locations around Fort Wayne, but not in Fort Wayne. Can you talk about testing? Is that still going on over at Ivy Tech, or what do we have going on, and what is your goal with that?
Well, what the state's doing is a combination of the PCR testing, which is the nasal swab, which tells you if you are currently infected with COVID. Plus, they're also beginning testing with blood testing for the antibody to say if you ever have been infected with COVID. So they're trying to get an idea of how many people are acutely ill with it and balance that with how many people have ever been infected with it so they can get an idea of the prevalence. Some states are finding like probably 15% of the people have actually been exposed to it. So they're doing that combination of testing, and they keep rotating it throughout the state, trying to get a good sample of Hoosiers. So nothing at, to my knowledge, at Ivy Tech for the public right now, but there may be something coming back next week. They're trying to do this balance of both types of testing.
All right. So this is something basically that we want to find out how many people have had this in India. You know, the state, though, doesn't look like it's, I mean, we've had a lot of cases down around the Indianapolis area, but it doesn't look like a lot of the counties have been affected that much. And I think that might give a false sense of security for a lot of people.
Well, yes, because number one, you don't know whether it was because they just weren't tested. Didn't have that, because if you didn't have a hospital in your community, in your county, again, it may look different. So, yes, it looks like, you know, you've got Lake County, Allen County, Marion, Hamilton. You've got some Cass County, some counties that were really have a lot of cases. But that doesn't mean there's not, you know, and again, I wish we were kind of looking at this per capita. I think that would give us a better understanding of how many people are affected. But we're just looking at absolute numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But I think until you get that prevalence data, that serology, the antibody test, then you'll have a better sense of how many people were infected, but just really had a mild case of COVID, or in fact weren't even didn't have any symptoms at all. And the reason that prevalence is really important is because, remember, we want to get to that 75% level of people being infected, because that's when we start seeing the herd immunity. That's when we can start breathing a little easier, because now we have enough protection that we don't have essentially everybody vulnerable to getting the infection.
But doctor, if we want 75% of herd immunity, the way to accomplish that is not staying inside the house.
It's for people to get it.
Everybody go out and do whatever you want, right?
Well, but the problem is, and remember, the purpose of flattening the curve is to do it so that healthcare can, keep up with that. So if everybody got sick at once, you would totally crash and burn the healthcare system. So it's trying to keep infections at a pace at which healthcare can keep up with treating those people that are really sick with it. And thus far, we've done a really good job at being able to do that. But that's kind of been the whole purpose behind flattening the curve.
Okay, so we have to open up. Everybody knows this is unsustainable. You can't just keep people at home, and I don't think a lot of people will stay at home for much longer. So the next phase is, what is the new opening up look like? Is it still, it's open, but with what? Social distancing, masks? Is that the way you think it's going to go?
Well, you really have to, until there is herd immunity, which would take probably years to get to naturally, or a vaccine, which we're probably still a minimum of 6 months away from, we have to learn to coexist with COVID. It's out there. It didn't go away. We didn't scare it off. The virus is still out there. And so we have to have what we call a new normal. And what that's going to mean is that wherever you go for services, whenever we begin to start opening up and offering services again, they're going to look different. And we just have to accept that. Not only are services going to look different, but when we go to work, it may look different. It most likely will look different. You know, when we just live our normal lives, it's going to look different. So I think accepting that we need to coexist with COVID until there's a vaccine and doing those things that we know are going to be really important, the social distancing, the cloth facial coverings, the incessant washing of your hands, staying at home when you're sick, those kinds of things are going to be the measures that we need to incorporate into our everyday personal and work life.
Dr. McMahon, as we're getting ready to head to the polls, as we're getting ready to vote, some states have gone to their polling place. What do you think Indiana's going to do? Or what do you think Indiana should do?
Well, I can only talk about Allen County, and I can tell you that this election board, Beth, who is sort of in charge of making sure that we can vote safely, I'm telling you, they have done an outstanding job at really looking at how do they minimize the risk to the voter, but also the people working the polls, because a lot of times, if you remember the last time you voted, a lot of those people are retired.
Yes.
Right.
People that are most vulnerable. So I'm telling you, first of all, if you can vote in by mail, just do that this year. We still want people to vote. This is an important privilege that we have and a right, but it's also a privilege to be able to vote, and you should really be grateful for that opportunity. Maybe just this year, let's do it by mail, if at all possible. But they have been working very hard, and that's another place. If you do vote in person, you're going to find it looks a little different this year. That's okay. You still can vote.
What about another wave of something?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, because Dr. Fauci had made mention of the fact that we could have a recurrence or a bad fall, bad winter. Those were, I think, his words. And you had mentioned that maybe a vaccine could be available as early as 6 months. That's I guess, you know, on the hopeful side. What goes on with that?
Well, I and Dr. Fauci is my hero. Okay, so I with him. He's my 80-year-old hero. Yeah. But I guess to me, to have a wave or to have a season, it has to go away. And to me, it hasn't gone away yet. So I think it's just going to be here. My guess is we're just going to have to continue these. I don't want people to think that, oh, boy, it's not flu season. It's not fall, so it's going to go away. And this summer we can just live our best life. Well, we can live our best life, but we still have to act like COVID is here. So I guess I don't like to think of it in terms of waves yet, because we haven't really seen it, you know, get to that point where it's gone away. And I hate to think of it as seasonality, because we don't know that yet. So I think it's better just to think that COVID is out there, that we need to expect that it's that we're going to potentially encounter it and do all of those things that we've talked about to minimize your risk.
Okay.
And then they are working on, we don't hear this stuff. Maybe you do, of course, in your position, but the clinical trials that are going on in many hospitals with the Ebola, there's an Ebola drug or something, and some of the stuff is really, some good news is coming out. And I think once we get something like that, to know that, okay, these therapeutics are working, I think people, well, they might let their guard down a little bit more, but at least we know we have something.
It'd be nice, and again, that's what's made this such a different pandemic than H1N1, because we just had nothing to start with, because it wasn't a flu virus. It's a totally different virus, so we had nothing that we could tweak and make it work for this virus. Everything's been from scratch. And you're right, once we have some real treatments and even better testing, you know, the testing right now is still not where we would like it to be. And so once we have improved testing, once we have, the most important thing is a vaccine, though. That's really what we want, because I don't want anyone to have COVID, because, you know, it's a very protracted, prolonged illness. And so we don't want anyone to get it. So as soon as we have the real win will come when we have a vaccine. But yes, if we can get treatments, better testing, all of those things to better handle this virus, can't come soon enough in my mind.
Yeah, this may sound like a silly question, but we just found out that a dog, some cats, some big cats at a zoo in New York have coronavirus. Is it rare for a virus to be able to go between animals and humans, or is this pretty common?
I don't remember seeing that with H1N1.
I think this
virus from day one has really been unusual in my mind. It's extraordinarily infectious. It's just a beast.
It's wild.
Thank you for your time today. We really appreciate it. Before we go, I have one more question. I think everybody in our area knows Dr. Deb McMahon was the queen of the fashion scarf. Now we see Dr. Burks out there with her fashion scarves. Can we see a fashion scarf off between the two of you? Do we see that in the future?
No, I actually took a picture of my scarf drawer and sent it to our communications director and said, Dr. Burks has nothing on me.
Yes! She sure does not.
That's awesome.
I'm happy to go.
All right, Dr. McMahon, always a pleasure. Thanks for sharing and making things understandable for us, and we'll probably check in with you again here as time goes on.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Jumpstart your morning with Jim, Carrie, and Angie on Classic Hits 101.7.